documents that were released this week by Congressman Ed Markey. He's on a committee that is investigating this whole thing and has been for a long time. And Markey released a letter that he wrote to Thad Allen and documents that he cites, which say basically that not only did BP use excessive amounts of dispersants in the Gulf almost every day since the spill began, but that they were not forthcoming about the amounts that they used, and that basically Thad Allen, the admiral who's in charge of the incident command, and his subordinates essentially rubber-stamped BP's use of the dispersants. The requirement was for BP, from late May on, BP had to get a waiver from the incident command, from Admiral Allen's command, if they wanted to use dispersants on any given day. And according to Markey, Thad Allen just basically gave it out willy-nilly, gave them a waiver whenever they wanted, and handed them out almost indiscriminately, almost averaging more than one a day, one waiver a day. And that even when he did that, BP, according to Markey, exceeded the amount that they said they were using. And it all resulted, according to the congressman, in what he called BP's, quote, carpet bombing of the Gulf with chemicals. Now, Thad Allen has said since Mr. Markey has come out with this accusation, that he is satisfied with the amount of dispersants that were used, that he was, he was not irresponsible in giving these waivers out, that he and BP worked closely with the EPA every time a waiver was wanted. Now, the EPA has said, look, we didn't always agree whenever they wanted a waiver, but we don't believe that it was abused, and we also believe that the EPA did find this week that the dispersant used was no more toxic than the oil itself. So there are a lot of people in government, including Thad Allen and the EPA, who are trying to basically say that these accusations by Markey are a little bit, inflammatory.
Yeah. Environmentalists, I know, have been very concerned about what these dispersants may mean for the food chain and ramifications coming from this.
They certainly are, and what's alarming is a study that Tulane University has undertaken. Now, I've talked to the people at Tulane, and they say, look, don't talk too much about this because our study is not complete yet. But there are some preliminary indications that their scientists have talked about to the media, which indicate that there are traces of these dispersants that have ended up on what they call crab larvae and other larvae in the Gulf. That's pretty ominous if it turns out to be the case. Because crab larvae obviously are, tiny microbial-sized crabs in basically the offspring stage. So they have to go through that stage before they become larger crabs. But also, they are part of the food chain. Other larger versions of marine life feed on those larvae. And if those are contaminated, then not only is the crab population really threatened, but so is, so could be, several other aspects of marine life. So if that's the case, if that is found, then the fate of marine life in the Gulf could really be thrown into some peril. Now, again, the people at Tulane say, don't go with this too much. We're not 100% sure. We think that maybe that there are traces of this on the crab larvae, but we're going to come out with our final conclusions later. The EPA has told us that they see no evidence of this yet. But I think, Chris, that this is going to be debated, and we may not know the real answers to this for maybe years to come.
Hmm. And I know conventional wisdom is now this is much ado about nothing, and no problem here, move on, everybody. I'm guessing you and I are going to talk about this in the months, years ahead.
Absolutely, and you're not going to really see the ramifications of this for many months and probably many years. I mean, people will look back on this 10, 15 years from now and say, well, yes, clearly the evidence now shows that that the marine life was contaminated and that many species of marine life died off. Or they will say, all that debate was for nothing. The marine life recovered completely, and look, the economy wasn't even that hurt. Nobody really got sick. But you know what? That plays out over years. People are still debating the environmental effects of the Exxon Valdez 21 years later. We are really getting into a lot of inflammatory debate, probably way ahead of the game.
The other big story you've been following, and the headline sounds a little bit like something out of The Onion, nun killed immigrant case. But this is serious stuff.
Yeah, I hate to laugh about the title of this because it's a very, very serious case.
Yeah.
But you know, this is really stoking the immigration debate, and it's an extraordinary case that that local officials here in Northern Virginia are absolutely just furious about. This is out of Prince William County. A nun, a Catholic nun, was killed in a car accident on Sunday morning. I talked to police and the prosecutors, who say, number one, that this guy who was in the car that hit them, he was very drunk at the time. He's been charged with DUI. And other driving offenses relating to that accident. But number two, he has multiple convictions for DUI. He's had at least two convictions for DUI previous to this, so this would be his third. He has been charged with speeding, public drunkenness, reckless driving, other driving violations, and to boot, he has been illegally in the United States now for 14 years. So the prosecutor in Prince William County told me yesterday that they're furious. This guy has thumbed his nose at the law twice, on two different levels. Number one, that he just stayed in this country illegally for 14 years, but number two, multiple driving violations. He was driving with a revoked license, and, you know, the question now is, how did this guy fall through the cracks? He has been processed not only by law enforcement in Prince William County with these multiple arrests, but also twice by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Twice, Prince William County officials handed him over to ICE for processing. Now, ICE has told us that because this is really the crux of this case, because his violations didn't constitute violent crimes, robbery, rape, or murder, they didn't really have the authority to hold him. As soon as he was turned over, they processed him, and they had to release him on his own recognizance into the community. Now, they did monitor him, and they did put him through the deportation proceedings, but those proceedings, as of Sunday when the accident occurred, had not made their way through the courts yet. So this guy was out there, and he was, you know, yes, he had a revoked license, but clearly, according to police, he didn't care much about that. He kept driving, and that had tragic consequences on Sunday. And now people are asking, you know, again, is our system for rounding up what they call criminal aliens really broken? Is it focusing too much on the gang members and the violent offenders and not enough on people like this guy who, you know, this Prince William County supervisor was furious when he interviewed with me yesterday, saying he was a danger to the community. We told the feds that he was a danger to the community, and they still basically let him go.
And in a debate that which has found very little common ground, I think this is one of the areas, if somebody is a criminal, this is an area where we need to fix this problem.
Absolutely. And, you know, ICE, to their credit, is saying, look, a Homeland Security official told me yesterday, said, look, we have deported more criminal aliens than any other administration before us. There's a record number of them deported this year so far. They're on top of the problem as much as they can, but they have to prioritize the violent criminals. Do this guy's infractions constitute violent crimes? You know, you can say yes or no. I mean, they may have been involuntary, but certainly they put people in danger. And according to police, he hasn't been convicted of this, but according to police, he was responsible for this nun's death on Sunday. So, you know, he was, according to Prince William County officials, a true danger to the community.